You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking Toronto Blue Jays with MLB.com's Blue Jays beat reporter Gregor Chisholm. Gregor, it wouldn't be the Blue Jays if we didn't have one more twist in the last 2 weeks. And suddenly, after the Jays looking like they were in an awfully deep hole, they're right back in it. What do you make of the math? Just you looking at this team and the schedule and the standings, what do you make of the math with a little less than 2 weeks to go for this club?
Yeah, you know, it's this season, as you said, it's just been full of so many twists. You know, it seems like every time that, you know, people are about to write this team off, they find a way to get back into it. And every time it looks like they're going to make a strong push, then they seem to follow that up with a struggle. You know, as it looks right now, there really just isn't any margin for error. You know, time is obviously running out. They've put themselves in a position where they have an outside chance, but in a lot of ways, they don't control their own fate. I mean, it's a good thing for this team that they have an upcoming series against the Mariners next week. That could be very, very crucial for this organization. But then you're also going to have either one of Detroit or Kansas City that you're chasing for that second wild card spot as well. So they're going to need some help. But in order to do this, they don't have to completely run the table, but they can really probably only lose a couple of games the rest of the way to realistically put themselves in the conversation for potentially being able to kind of steal the second wild card spot this late into the year.
I know that to some extent what a big league club does is take care of today's business and not really get too caught up in the standings and in what happened yesterday. But do you sense any kind of difference in the vibe in the clubhouse now that they have gone from, in the last really 2 weeks, from a 500 team looking very much on the fringes and on the cusp of maybe falling out of it, to a team that really has as good a shot as nearly anybody except those top three clubs in this wild card race?
Yeah, you know, there really has been. You know, there inside that clubhouse, I think there were some guys that looked at this about a month ago to, you know, during that really tough stretch that they had in August and towards the end of August, and were really, you know, looking around and watching everything kind of slip away. There was that feeling inside there. And the last couple of weeks, the way that they've recovered in September has kind of given everybody a little bit of renewed hope. There was a couple of really tough losses in Boston where they had leads late in the game and weren't able to come away with those. Those are really costly wins, and that kind of brought back that, you know, sense of discouragement, I think. But they were able to bounce back right after that. So it's, you know, I think there is hope. Everybody, I think, inside that clubhouse realizes that it's an outside chance, but they've developed a little bit of swagger, which is something that we had seen from this team, you know, much earlier in the season, especially in May. But even when things started to struggle a little bit in June and July, there was still that swagger. That was definitely missing for all of August, and there were some serious question marks about whether that confidence would ever come back. But it has. It's just a matter of right now whether that's a little bit too late to actually mean something. But they're making things interesting.
We talked last week about the change in center field. Between the removal of Colby Rasmus as the center fielder and the loss of Melky Cabrera for the year, how are things working out for that outfield right now?
Yeah, that's you know, I was fully expecting Rasmus to get another shot at starting, but you know, I kind of thought with the fact that the Blue Jays would kind of continue with the platoon of Kevin Pillar and Anthony Gose, that didn't end up being the case. You know, John Gibbons came out pretty much right away when Melky Cabrera got hurt and said their plan hasn't changed. They want to see what these young kids can do, and that means giving regular playing time to Pillar and Gose. Now, you know, Rasmus did make a start during the weekend series against the Rays, but that was the first time he had started a game in a couple of weeks. So he really has been buried on that bench and has kind of been just used as a left-handed power bat, pinch hitter late in games, and you know, that paid off with a couple of very key and very important home runs for that team. But you know, it's an interesting move because Kevin Pillar typically struggles against right-handers. I would have thought that they would have gone to Colby a little bit more in that situation, but it's kind of another indication that this team really has turned the page on Rasmus and is looking to the future, even while they're trying to keep an eye on the present at the same time.
While we're updating past topics, how are things working in the bullpen? It seems like there are some things going really well and maybe some things that aren't perfectly sorted out just yet.
Yeah, I think there's finally some clarity, which is something that was really lacking for a couple of weeks. I think Casey Jansen had a really difficult time knowing exactly what his role was. He was the closer. He wasn't the closer. He was kind of a part-time guy. You know, it's clear that Aaron Sanchez is the priority down there, but they're still really keeping an eye on making sure to pick their spots with him. There's going to be times where he's going to go two innings and then not be available for a day or two, and then Jansen's going to settle back into that role. So it's almost like, you know, we spend some time talking with the platoon of Pilar and Ghost. Well, in a lot of sense, the Blue Jays are going with a platoon at closer. And it's an attempt to keep everybody fresh. Jansen's still going to get his opportunities. Sanchez is definitely going to get some opportunities in there as well. And I think it took a little while for everyone just to kind of understand when Sanchez would be used. And now that that's become a little bit more clear, when he's available, he's going to be used. You know, I think it's helped everybody just settle in and know a little bit what to expect, because when it comes to those bullpen arms, you know, there is something to be said for stability down there and guys knowing exactly what type of situations they're going to be used. So I think they have figured that out. It took a little bit longer than they would have liked, but I think the final couple of weeks they know what to expect.
Sanchez is an interesting guy. Really, for a lot of his career, the numbers haven't exactly matched the hype. And this year in the minors, he was, again, numbers-wise, having an okay year, but walking more than a guy every two innings, the strikeout rate wasn't that high. I mean, again, numbers aren't everything, especially in the minors, but the numbers really weren't great. He gets to the majors, makes a transition to the bullpen, and the numbers are ridiculous. He's been dominant. Is it just as simple as grip it and rip it? Is there some difference in what he's doing in his repertoire? What's the difference between Aaron Sanchez, minor league starter, and Aaron Sanchez, big league reliever?
You know, what's really going to be interesting with him is when he does eventually go back to that starting role next year. The way he struggled earlier this season in the minor leagues and last year as well, when he had to go through a lineup multiple times, that's when he really had a lot of difficulty. And a lot of that was related to command as well, but you know, hitters were having a little bit more success after that, you know, third, fourth inning, after guys had seen him a little bit. And that's a luxury when you're pitching in the bullpen that other teams don't have. He can just come in, be aggressive. Guys are only going to get one brief look at him. And in a lot of cases, he's facing these teams for the first time. So, he really does have overpowering stuff. So it makes a lot of sense as to why he's had success. The one thing that I think is going to be very interesting for him is how he deals with teams after they've seen him a little bit. When he gets into that starting role next year, when he has to go through a lineup two, three times in a particular game, whether or not he's able to make adjustments after hitters make adjustments to him. That hasn't been something that he's really been able to do on a consistent basis in the minor leagues, but he's going to have to do it at the major league level. And, you know, that's going to be a really big key for him moving forward. But when it comes to pure stuff, you know, he's about as good as it gets, and it's whether or not he can take that next step and really prove that he's not just a bullpen arm, just not a potential closer of the future, but he's a guy who could be a frontline starter, and that's what the Blue Jays ultimately hope that he can become.
Yeah, I'm a really big believer that a good starter is more valuable than really even a great reliever, that the value in a legitimate quality starter who can give you 190, 200, 210 innings is enormous. With that said, if this guy has these issues starting, again, he's developing, he's young, if he has these issues starting, and if he shows himself to be a consistently dominant reliever, has the conversation begun at all within the organization about whether his future is maybe different than they thought it was?
Not yet. I wouldn't expect that for a little bit longer. I think that at the very least they give him all of next season, whether or not part of that includes some time, more time in the minor leagues, or whether it's a full year at the big league level kind of remains to be seen. But I think they're fully committed to him as a starter right now. And you know, on top of that, you know, maybe there's something to be said for the confidence that he's currently gaining at the big league level as well. I mean, it's something that we used to see a lot of teams do where they start guys, they bring them into the bullpen to make their debuts, get some experience, get their feet wet, and then kind of go from a starting role after that. Not as many teams, a lot of teams still do it, but not quite as many as there used to be. But it'll be interesting to see if this kind of changes his psyche a little bit as well, because a big thing with him is being aggressive with his, you know, dominating fastball and really attacking the zone. instead of trying to nibble and lose command that way. You know, now he knows he's been up here. He's had a nice, successful run now for a couple of months at the big league level. By the time this year comes to an end, whether he's able to kind of build on that this offseason and really know that he belongs in the big leagues, and whether that changes his mentality. But, you know, I think the Blue Jays organization has the same mentality that you do, that they would really prioritize the innings as a starter over bullpen. And, you know, it's possible that conversation will change a year or two from now, but they're fully committed to this development of him as hopefully being a number one, number two, number three type guy for multiple years going forward.
Well, Gregor Chisholm, thanks for taking some time here to talk on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.